Well, good morning, Dream City. How many are glad to be in God's house today? Come on, you can do better than that. How many are glad to be in the house of God today? Would you all stand to your feet? We're going to read the Word of God together today. And I am praying that God moves in this service the way He moved at our Scottsdale campus at the 9 a.m. hour. This will be a short message, about 22 minutes. My dad taught me one time, there's no such thing as a bad short sermon. Amen. Everybody loves a short sermon. But I do believe it's going to pack a mighty punch. At the end of this message, my dad is going to come forward and lead us in communion. And so what he does with his time, I'm not responsible for. Amen. But it's going to be a powerful move of God if you will open your hearts to receive from the Lord here today. I'm reading from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. This is one of the most beautiful, poetic passages in the whole Bible. The words of Jesus. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. I want you to see if you can identify the word that's used over and over and over in the next few verses. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch that dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. What is a word that's used over and over? Abide. Abide. Hang out with me. Learn to enjoy my presence. And if you do, the promise at the end is, your joy will be made full. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of how to supersize your spiritual life, how to supersize your spiritual experience. Father, I pray you would touch the hearts of people gathered here today. Let us leave this place today and fully know in our hearts that you have visited us. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. If you were to go to McDonald's and order a meal, they would ask you this question. They would say, would you like to supersize that? If you go to Whataburger, they will ask you, would you like to water-size that order? If you go to Wendy's, they will ask you, would you like to biggie-size that order? What they are offering you is more. They're saying you don't have to be satisfied with the regular because we can make it bigger. We can give you more. Oh, by the way, I hope you're not satisfied to come to church with a regular order of Jesus. Come on, somebody. I hope you come here today seeking more of Jesus, more of his presence in your life. In the passage we just read, John 15, Jesus has gathered his disciples together in the upper room. And he's going to tell them how to supersize their experience of him. How to move beyond the regular order of just going to church and hearing sermons and listening to Christian music and singing Christian songs, but never really seeing a transforming experience in your life. He uses this poetic analogy in verse 1. He says, I am the vine. I'm the genuine one. I'm the real deal. and my father is a vine dresser. Now this leads him to talking about the issue of bearing fruit, bearing fruit. I want you to notice the progression he uses in verse 2. First, he talks about those who are bearing no fruit. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. Then he talks about bearing fruit. And every branch, he says, that bears fruit. Then he talks about bearing more fruit. He prunes it so that he may bear more fruit. Then in verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you guys are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. And he goes even further in verse 16 by saying, I chose you and appointed you that you would go up and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. So are you following me here today? Notice the progression. He goes from bearing no fruit to bearing fruit, to bearing more fruit, to bearing much fruit, then to having fruit that remains. What he is talking about is how to live a productive Christian life that is, one, growing in the character of Jesus Christ. Number two, a life that's bringing glory to God. And number three, a Christian life that's benefiting other people. So look, if you are going to be a supersized, you know, fruitful Christian, you know, you're going to look more like Jesus and not less like Jesus. You're gonna give God more glory every day and not less glory. You're gonna benefit other people with your life and bring more benefit to them than less benefits. So let's think about this for a moment. Let's think about fruit for a moment. He's talking about fruit. There's three characteristics of fruit. Here's the first one. Fruit always bears the character of the tree of which it is a part of. You will not find apples growing on an orange tree. You will not find pears growing on a lemon tree. The character of the tree will always determine the nature of the fruit. Second characteristic of fruit. Fruit is always visible. You will never see invisible fruit. There is no such thing as invisible fruit. So if you are bearing fruit for Jesus, people around you are going to see it. Hello. Third characteristic of fruit. Fruit exists, always exists, for the benefit of somebody else, okay? Fruit does not eat itself. Fruit that eats itself is rotten fruit. It turns on itself. Oh, by the way, you know that you are bearing fruit when other people around you want to take a bite out of your life. Come on, somebody. When they see how you're living and say, I want that. I want to emulate that. I want what I see in them as they follow Jesus. So, let's review. If you don't look like Jesus, and if no one sees you looking like Jesus, and if nobody wants to be like you because of Jesus, then you are a dying, unproductive branch. You are not a productive, supersized Christian. Now, that's the bad news, okay? I'm not a politician, I'm a preacher. I gotta tell you the good news and the bad news, amen. That's the bad news. Now the good news is there is a remedy. Jesus says, in order for you to be a supersized saint, biggie-sized, water-sized, if you want more of me, Jesus says, you are going to have to learn how to grow in your abiding. Abiding is John's word of intimacy. He uses it 10 times in these 11 verses. He talks about those who are wanting to know Jesus and get close to Jesus. He says, you must learn how to abide. The Greek word for abide is the word meno. It means to stay around, to remain, to loiter, to hang out. Jesus says, if you want to get to know me, if you want to be like me, you've got to hang out with me. Yeah, exactly. See, a lot of people today, a lot of Christians today, just want to visit Jesus. They want to visit him on Sunday. They want to just visit him on Wednesday. They want to visit him when they say grace before a prayer. A lot of Christians just want to date Jesus, but Jesus doesn't want a date. He wants a ring. He wants to be married to you. He says, I want you to abide with me. I want to do life with you, fellowship with you. He says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you, As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Now he's talking here to his disciples. So these are people who are already Christians. So he's not telling them how to get saved. He's telling them how to bear fruit in life. How to have a productive Christian experience. How to biggie-size their Christian experience. How to get more than just the regular. And he says to us, look, it all happens through abiding. If you're not abiding, you can't get it. Now, this past week, I was down in Georgia for a couple of days. And down in the South, they love their tea. They're big on sweet tea. Have you had sweet tea? I drank more sweet tea this past week than I've drank my whole life. But it got me thinking about tea a little bit. When you drink hot tea, there are two ways that people drink tea. Some people are dippers. They take the tea bag and they dip it in, dip it out. Dip it in, dip it out. Dip it in, dip it out. They're dippers. And if you are a dipper, it takes a little more work because you got to wrap the string of the tea bag around the spoon. And you dip it in and dip it out and dip it in, dip it out. Then you put your thumb on the tea bag against the spoon and you push and you press. You are compressing, trying to get all that tea out of that bag. It's a lot of work to be a dipper. Now, when I didn't drink tea, I don't drink it that way. I'm not a dipper. I'm an abider. I just put the tea bag in the water and leave it alone. I just let it remain for a while. I just let it abide. And if the tea bag hangs out in the water long enough, the water starts to flow through the tea bag, and pretty soon there's a transformation in the water. It begins to change color. It begins to take on a new character because transformation and change has taken place as a result of abiding. You see, some people dip into church and dip out of church. Dip into reading God's word, dip out of reading God's word. Are you with me? They dip into prayer and dip out of prayer, and they wonder why. Why am I not changing? Why isn't my life transforming? Jesus says, if you would just stop dipping and start abiding, if you would just start hanging out with me, if you would just start making me the number one priority of your life, you would start to see my water flow through your spirit into your soul. I think he called it the living water. Come on, somebody. It would change your soul and clean up your life and manifest itself on the outside, so that you start looking more like Jesus, glorifying the Father in heaven, and people around you will want to take a bite of your life, out of your life. They'll say, I want to be like the Jesus in that man. It all comes through abiding. For many years at our household, I was the chief breadwinner in our household. Angel was a stay-at-home mom raising our kids, and she raised those kids to love the Lord. She had them involved in every program here at the church, drama programs. I mean, she poured into those girls. And our girls love the Lord today. They serve the Lord. They love the local church. Amen. They believe the local church can change the city. I'm so grateful for that. But when our daughters got married and moved out, it was now time for Angel to begin, you know, full-time ministry. And God has used her greatly, but now our schedules are very busy. So she's going one way, I'm going one way. I'm in Georgia, you know, she's up in Short Creek, she's in Georgia, I'm somewhere else. And so I've had to learn to kind of take more responsibility around the home. So I do more cooking now, I do more cleaning now, and I have become like the chief expert in dishwashing. I want you to know, I really know how to wash dishes. It took me a while. You see, at first I would, you know, sometimes when I leave dishes for a couple days, ever try to get dried oatmeal off of a plate? I mean, it's like stucco. It's hard to get off. So you have to, you know, elbow grease it and push, and you have to, you know, scrub, and it's really hard to get it off. It takes a lot of effort. I've learned a brand new way of washing dishes. If I just fill the sink up with hot water and then add a little detergent and just put those dirty dishes in that water and just let it remain, just let it soak, Just let it hang out for a while. What used to take a lot of effort now just slides right off the plate because it's been abiding. It's been remaining for a while, and a transformation will take place. Jesus says, look, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I gotta say that again because some of you are needing God in your life. You are needing God to move in your life, in your family, in your body, in your business. Jesus says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. What is that saying? It's saying that Christians who abide get their prayers answered. Christians who hang out with Jesus get their prayers answered. But listen, if you are a dipper, dipping in and dipping out, dipping into God's word, dipping out of God's word, getting to it when you can, and not an abider, don't be surprised if Jesus doesn't answer your prayer, because what he wants to know if he answers your prayer is this, verse 8, is my Father going to be glorified? Today in American churches, we have a lot of people dipping in and dipping out because they want something from God or they need something from God, but they don't want him. They don't want Jesus. They just want what Jesus can do for them. But my daughters, when they were very little, 3 and 4 years old, I would go speak at a conference somewhere, and when I would come home after a couple of days, they would run up to me, jump in my arms, Daddy's home, Daddy's home. They were so glad to see Daddy. Daddy, please don't leave again. Please don't leave again. We want you to be home, Daddy. That made me feel so good. My daughters wanted me to be at home. Well, after a while, on the way home in the airport, I would stop in the little gift shop and buy them a little toy. I would walk in the door and they'd run and jump in my arms. Daddy's home, Daddy's home. They would love on me and kiss me and hug me. And then I would reach into my bag and pull out a little toy. Oh, Daddy, you are so good to us, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. I did that for a while. And after a while, they started asking me questions like, hey, Daddy, when are you going to leave again? Now they were hoping I would go away. You see, at first, they just wanted me, but now they wanted the toy. And I haven't forgotten about that either, Aubrey. I want you to know that. Amen. So they didn't mind me leaving as long as they got their toy. A lot of Christians today want to try to pimp God out. They only want God for what he can give to them without wanting him. And you're missing the point. Jesus says in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Notice these key words, my words, if my words abide in you. That's talking about the word of God. That's talking about the Bible. If the Bible abides in you. Let me try to explain this. The Greek word for Bible is the word graphe. This is the written, recorded scripture. It's the graphe. This is the word of God, whether you open it or not. This is the word of Almighty God, whether you believe it or not. This is the word of God, whether or not you live it, because it's God's recorded words, because he loves us so much. It's the recipe on how to live an overcoming life. It's the recipe on how to be blessed in life. It's the word of Almighty God. Now, I know that we're living in an increasingly secular culture. We are living right now in a world that's trying to bully the church to be silent about certain topics that the world deems too political to talk about in the house of God. Subjects like, when does life begin? That's a biblical issue. Subjects like, who defines marriage? That is a biblical issue, a biblical truth. These are biblical truths long before they were ever political issues. But the world is infringing on the word of God's territory, not vice versa. So don't let anyone ever try to stifle your witness for Jesus Christ, because these are biblical truths that go way back in time. And they're recorded in the graphe that God has for us. But there's another Greek word for Bible, and it's the word logos. And logos is referring to the written word. The meaning of the written word. So, graphe is the written word. Logos is the meaning of what is written. The graphe is the fact that it was written, while the logos is the meaning of what has been written. See, this book is the graphe. When you hear it taught, when you read it, when you understand it, that is the Logos. Okay, but here comes the big one. Then there's also the Rhema. The Bible is also called the Rhema. The graphe is what has been written. The logos is understanding what has been written. But the rhema is when what God has written speaks into your life personally. It's when God's word leaps off the page and speaks about your life, your family, your health, your business. It's a personalized word from God to your situation. That's the rhema, word of God. And that's what we should be seeking when we come to the house of God. Because there's nothing more powerful than when you understand that there's a person behind this. These are not just words. There's a being, there's a person behind these words. As the team comes to help wrap this up today, one of the things we have to protect our children from these days is online predators. Particularly, we need to all protect our young ladies, our girls, from these online chat rooms. See, a young lady will go into an online chat room and meet a man through words that she's never met face to face. But they get to know each other through the words. They've never met. They've never heard each other's voices. But because of a word that goes back and forth, her emotions get stirred up. And she finds herself falling in love with someone she's never met because of the word. You follow me? If she falls deep enough in love, she will risk her very safety to meet somebody in an alley somewhere because the word is so powerful. What makes a word on a computer so powerful? I'll tell you what it is. Because she knows there's a person living behind the word. Just as there's a living person behind an online chat room, there is a living person behind the precious, timeless word of God. And he says to you today, please don't miss this. This is the key to life. This is why you are made. This is the key to your existence. He says to you, will you just hang out with me? I want to hang out with you. I will supersize your Christian experience. I don't want to be just a Sunday experience or a Wednesday evening experience or a place you come to get a blessing from God. I want to be a part of your everyday experience, the totality of your life. I want you to abide in me and I want to abide in you. In other words, I want to go to work with you in the morning. I want to sit in the car when you drive to work with you. I want to be at work so that when you're working, you can have a two-way conversation going on, one with your colleagues and one with me, and I'll help you with your work. I'll give you wisdom. I'll give you fresh, witty ideas. I want to go home with you after work. I want to go work out with you at the gym at night. I want to play golf with you on your day off. I want to sit down at night and watch the Diamondbacks lose with you. Amen. I just want to be a part of the totality of your existence. I want to be with you when you go on a walk at night. I want you to feel my presence. I want to talk to you when you go on the walk. I want you to ask me for help when you have to make a tough decision in life. You don't know what to do. I just want you to hang out with me. And he says, if you will do this, if you will abide in me, if you will hang out with me, I will supersize your life. You will no longer have to settle for just regular fries and a regular Coke because you're going to feel more of me. You're going to experience more of me. You're going to hear my voice more. Come on, somebody. I'm going to guide you more. I'm going to give you so much more because you're hanging out with me. You're abiding with me. Just before Dad comes to service communion today, in our solar system, the planet Mercury is the hottest planet of all because of its proximity to the sun. It's the closest planet to the sun, therefore it's red hot. It's on fire. The planet Pluto is always cold because of its proximity to the sun. It's the furthest planet away from the sun. So it's always cold. Now follow me. Mercury is always hot because it's close to the sun. Pluto is always cold because it's a long way from the sun. You follow me? You didn't catch that. Mercury is always on fire because it's close to the sun. Pluto is always cold because it's a long way. They're both planets, but they're different in their proximity to the sun. So one is hot and one is cold. Then there's planet Earth. And Earth is different. Earth is both hot and cold because it's seasonal. And the reason why it's seasonal is because the Earth rotates on an axis. So some seasons it's hot and some seasons it's cold. Okay? Some Christians are seasonal Christians because they're always rotating. They're always dipping. They're always in and out, rotating this way and that way. But if you want a supersized experience of Jesus, then you gotta leave the planet Pluto. Come on, somebody, because it's too far away from the sun. But you've also got to leave planet Earth because planet Earth is seasonal and you'll be a seasonal saint. But if you want to be a red hot Christian, if you want to supersize your Christian experience, if you want to biggie size it, water size it, Jesus says, become a Mercury Christian. Change your proximity to the sun, the S-O-N, so you can feel his presence, his power, his heat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year. Jesus says, if you will abide in me and my word abides in you, you can ask anything you wish and it shall be done. What Jesus is looking for today is not seasonal saints. He's looking for saints today who will push in a little closer. Saints who will recognize that the reason why I feel cold is not because of God. God hasn't moved. I have moved. And today, I'm going to snuggle up to God. I'm going to get a little closer to God. Today, I'm declaring that the days of Pluto living are over. I'm going to be a Mercury Christian. I'm going to get as close to God as I possibly can so I can get all I can from the God who loves me. Amen. Is that a good word? Would you all stand to your feet all across this place?